Welcome into another edition of our postseason high school boys basketball podcast. I'm Richard Skinner from Local 12, local12.com. He is Tony Pike, who, after his career at Reading High School, became a famed quarterback of sorts in college and in the NFL, but was apparently a pretty good high school basketball player on a team that allegedly won a state championship. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Where's your state title ring?
I should have worn it in.
I know. Why didn't you?
Well, I got all my rings on display in my house.
I'm debating this now.
Got all my rings on display.
The Orange Bowl championship ring?
Yep.
You got that one?
Yep.
Sugar Bowl one?
Sugar Bowl as well, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Got those two.
We beat Sugar Creek Garaway.
I like the fact that you actually recall the team.
We do.
What, 28-27, was that the final?
Oh, and we beat a really tough athletic Bishop Hartley team on the way
Bishop
well.
Bishop Hartley's usually very good. Yeah. Out of what city?
I don't care.
Columbus. But okay. what was the final score of the state championship game?
I don't know.
You don't remember?
We scored more points.
I'm debating that you even were on this squad now. What did you average per game?
My junior year?
Was this the state championship
year?
Is that where? Yeah.
Like 7 or 8.
What'd you have your senior year?
I was like a Tim Duncan machine, double-double.
Double-double guy?
Like 14-10.
Wow. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff. All right, we are moving along in the postseason. We'll look at Ohio, Kentucky, and there's only one team locally left in Indiana. We'll touch on that again. This is boys basketball only. But let's start in Ohio, where we are now into district tournament play. Sectionals concluding last week. Let's start in Dayton District 3. All these games will be on Saturday at UD Arena. This is a 7 o'clock tip-off. Lakota East, which came out of the upper bracket as the 2 seed, taking on Fairmont, a 6 seed out of the bottom bracket. That game will take place again at 7 o'clock at UD Arena. Lakota East was a team that I got a chance to see play Moeller. They've kind of been that team that feels like it's been Moeller, then a large gap. Yeah. Down to Lakota East, but Lakota East continues marching along, and they're just solid. They're a really good team. They got a star in Bash Whelan, but they're just a solid overall team.
Well, a star in Bash Whelan, and then like you said, they just do all the things, the little things correctly. They'll defend, rebound, but it's so hard in Division I this year because you win and you're excited and you're moving on, but still what lies down the road is Moeller.
Right, and in fact, that district winner, the Lakota right. East district winner, would play, likely, if Moeller wins, they would play Moeller in the regional
right.
semis.
Right, so you're celebrating moving on, but like we've talked about this whole bracket in last week's show, eventually at some point when you go through the seeding and when you put yourself on one part of the bracket, you know ultimately who you're going to have to beat in that hurdle you're going to have to get over. I think East wins this game, and I think they set up a match with Moeller where you know, a few other things go your way. You're hitting shots. You never know what happens.
Played them really well right. up in Middletown
played
back
them,
about a month or so. Or
played
a month
them
and
tough.
A half ago.
You're playing on a neutral site. And again, in games like that, all the pressure is not on Lakota East.
Right.
All the pressure is on Moeller. So get to that point and see what happens.
Yep. Speaking of Moeller, they will play the 1 o'clock game at UD Arena on Saturday. After they beat Coleraine 67-51, they will play Winton Woods, a 12 seed, which knocked off Turpin in the sectional championship game at Lakota West. Again, the Moeller Winton Woods winner will move on to play the winner of that Lakota East for sales game. When you look at Moeller, they are a team that doesn't have weaknesses, but they were outscored by Coleraine in the third quarter in the sectional championship game, 18-3. Is that a chink in the armor? Is that boredom? I know you didn't see the game, but just knowing sports, you know, occasionally when you've had the success they've had, and most of their wins have been blowouts. Lakota East was not. That was an 8-point game, yeah. If I don't remember right, 61-53. I just remember East played him extremely well for three quarters and literally ran out of gas in the fourth quarter. And Moeller's talent level kind of took over down the stretch, too, and their defense as well. But when I heard that, what took place in the third quarter, and it made me go, boredom set in maybe. There's just a lot of factors there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it was just a situation of, look, you know, we have this game under wraps. Had a good first half, and maybe it's working on stuff for the next game. Maybe it's just a little bit of a lull, but
and maybe you just had a bad quarter. And
right,
you can have that in the course of a season,
and you can have that, and you can have that against Coleraine. But that's why we talked about if that matchup goes to Lakota East, can you afford a quarter like that against Lakota East? So maybe it was a bad quarter. Maybe it's Coleraine hitting shots, but as you advance now, the margin of error diminishes greatly. So, you know, again, you can get away with that against Coleraine this year.
And you'd probably be able to get away with it against Winton Woods as
right.
well. But, yeah, you
but
get
after that, you got to start shoring everything in. And you don't have to be elite for four quarters if you're Moeller. You just got to have four good quarters.
Yeah.
You can't have a quarter where you get outscored
and
by 10.
They're usually elite. I mean, elite for about a 10-minute stretch right. where all of a sudden a 4-point game becomes an 18-point game and you don't recover.
Right, and from doing one of the Moeller games with you and watching a couple different Moeller games, what this team possesses is that factor to say, and like we've seen at the college level this year, I think UC's done a great job. I think Kentucky's done a great job. When they need to turn it up, they don't turn it up offensively right away. They turn it up on the defensive right. end, and then they cause a lot of problems, and those stops on defense really lead to those runs that Moeller makes.
And Moeller gets a lot of live ball turnovers, too, so they're not only getting yep. turnovers, but they're turning the turnovers into points, and it just becomes such a quick hit. I mean, I've seen them go minute spurts where they outscore you 12-0 because yeah. they just turn you over. Live ball becomes a dunk. Live ball becomes a dunk. You try to take a timeout. They get another live ball, becomes a three. It just it goes very, very quickly.
Right.
All right, also up at UD. And by the way, we'll have that game for you, the Moeller-Winton Woods game, right here on ESP Media on Saturday. It'll be a 1 o'clock tip time. We'll be on the air approximately 12:50. Kent McKenzie, Mike Jones will join me for that broadcast. All right, in Dayton District 4, Elder will take on Springfield. Elder the 10 seed, Springfield the 2 from the bottom. Springfield beat Sydney 65-60. Sydney, I believe, is Samari Curtis's team is going to the University of Cincinnati. He's kind of a one-man show. They were not a great team.
Yeah.
It's funny. I think they were about 500, but he averaged about 34 a game. So kind of a one-man show. Saw Springfield earlier this year against Moeller. Moeller dominated that game. At a stretch where Moeller was playing well. But this Springfield program over the last few years has become a perennial team that makes it into the regional semis. So a team that they can certainly play against. Now you look at Elder. Elder with a pretty good run through this tournament. After beating Edgewood, which was a 29 seed, 47-40, they won in overtime over rival Oak Hills, the better seed, 43-41. Then beat Sycamore in the sectional championship game, 56-42. And it's not just this run in the sectional, Tony. Yeah. They actually played pretty well down the stretch of the season. It would not shock me to see Elder spring the upset on Springfield, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, Elder's playing right at the right time. Elder is doing the right things. And every time you talk about a GCL game, and we've talked about this many times before, they just muck it up. They win with defense. It might be sloppy. It might be first team to 40.
Right.
It might be first team to 50. But Elder's playing at a higher level right now than we saw in the regular season. I think they can move on with that.
Yeah, look at what they did in the sectional. Held Edgewood to 40, held Oak Hills to 41. And again, some of this is your style of play, I say held, but some of it is also defense too. And that 41 for Oak Hills came in overtime. I believe regulation ended 31 apiece, 33 apiece. And yep. then held Sycamore to 42 points. So they are really doing it on the defensive end. And if they can get this game probably in the 40s, I think they stand a really good chance to knock off Springfield.
Yeah, I think they can. I think, you get there, you move on, and this is the state championship. This is whatever happens at that point, you know, it's lose and go home. And that puts a lot of pressure on the perennial and quote-unquote favorites right. of the games. And I think Elder's playing like a underdog. And when you do that and you start riding that wave a little bit, really good things can happen.
All right, the Elder Springfield winner will advance to take on the winner of Centerville Mason. Centerville beating Xenia. They're the one seed in that sectional. Mason came out as the 3 seed in its sectional. That's the one which Moeller was the 1 seed. Lakota East, the 2. Mason dispatching Milford in the sectional championship game after Milford had upset LaSalle in overtime in a sectional semifinal game. I think this would be a good game. I saw Centerville earlier this year as well. Again, I'm basing a lot of this off of teams playing Moeller because that's who I saw Centerville against. Right. I was probably more impressed with Springfield than I was Centerville. But also Centerville's style of play is kind of GCL-like, and I think it would be a really good game. I think they will not run away from Mason by any stretch, and Mason winning this game would not be a shock either.
Yeah, this is one of those that you can kind of just toss up in the air. And again, these are, you know, the exciting because you win this and it's not Moeller right away.
Right.
Win this and you can continue to advance and continue to make this run. And again, these are situations where, you know, whether it's your senior year, your junior year, sophomore year, you don't get a lot of chances like that. So to advance in the state championship and into the state championship, but the state basketball playoffs is something that stays with you.
Yep. Let's move to Division II, where there was a bit of an upset in the sectional. Not a major one, because I will tell you about this Aiken team. Aiken with a win over Wyoming 65-56 to advance to the district championship. This game will be played on Thursday night at UD Arena, Thursday late afternoon, 5:30. They'll take on Alter, and we'll get to Alter's story here in just a second. But Aiken beating Wyoming 65-56. This is a really good Wyoming team. You're very familiar with the CHL as a Redding alum and a Redding honk that you are.
Yes, yes.
But I told you, Aiken played our Beachwood team, which we'll talk about them here in just a little bit, too. We lost to them in the finals in Somerset. I think a lot of them. They've got good guards. They spread you out. They're hard to keep off the bounce. If you decide you want to back off of them, they will literally pull from 25 feet. They don't have much of a conscience, and they make. I think this is a really good Aiken team. It does not surprise me to see them come out and beat Wyoming, because Wyoming's really good.
Yeah, Wyoming has senior leadership. They have Evan Prater, who's obviously a star on the football field. He's going to have his choice to go to a lot of different schools. But what he can do on the basketball field, he's rangy, he is athletic. They have some hard-nosed guards that sit down and defend. So for Aiken to get over a team of Wyoming who likes to run you through some offense, yep. who likes to play fundamentally sound, they have guys they can go to get buckets. To get over that to me is a very impressive win, because I thought Wyoming would advance in that. So now Aiken, riding that confidence, moves on and again, gives yourself a chance, knocking off one of the better teams in the CHL and what I thought one of the better teams in the division.
Their district championship foe on Thursday night is going to be Alter, which was the 7 seed. How about their run through the tournament? After they knocked off 13 seed West Carrollton 92-58, they then upset the 1 seed Chaminade Julien and beat them badly 61-35. That got them to the championship game, where in the title game against 3 seed Fenwick, they beat Fenwick by 19, 71-52. This doesn't seem like a magical run. It seems like a team that's just hitting its stride at the right time.
Right, playing at the right time. And again, we talked about this with teams going into the tournament of maybe, you know, understanding how the Ohio High School state basketball tournament works and knowing that you're going to get a chance. Maybe you work down the stretch of putting some different players in positions. Maybe you work a different offense or a different defense that you can save for a point in the tournament when you need it or when you haven't shown much on film. That could be the situation here. Now, tournament ready, playing their best basketball of the season, very tough to beat right now.
Yeah, no question. All right, quickly into Dayton District 2 of Division 2. Trotwood Madison, the 1 seed, will take on Thurgood Marshall, the 2 seed. Thurgood Marshall beating 4 seed Hamilton Bay in a sectional championship there. And also in Dayton, this will be Dayton District 3. It'll be Dayton Northridge, which knocked off Benjamin Logan, the 2 seed, 65-34 in the championship game. Makes you wonder about the seedings when you see a 4 seed beat a 2 seed by basically running clock score. And they'll take on Taft. Taft is the 2 seed out of Cincinnati. They beat the 1 seed Hughes 81-71. I think you could play a 7-game Taft-Hughes series this year, and it would go 7 games, and I still couldn't tell you who won. Hughes is really good,
yes.
So that tells you how good this Taft team is. Taft with a really good chance to advance to the regional semis, not taking anything away from Northridge, but I do think Taft is extremely talented, well-coached, and like I said, if they'd have played Hughes in a 7-game series, it would have gone to that 7th game, and this time around it went to Taft.
I'm going to go on a limb here.
Think Taft wins it all in Division 2?
I don't know if they win it all. I think they advance this week.
Okay.
Going out on a big limb there.
I don't think you're going on any limb there. I thought you were going to go on a big limb and go further than that.
I could see Taft winning it all.
I could see Taft winning it all, too.
And they got all the pieces together. Like you said, very well coached. They can piece this thing together, play a really good style of basketball.
I mean, you got a legit chance for both Taft and Aiken to advance. Yeah. Not even a puncher's chance. I mean a legit chance. You have a good chance to have a Cincinnati Public School team win the region and get to the state Final Four.
Yeah.
So
I'm with you.
We'll see how that goes. Let's go to Division 3, where the 1 seed, and we've seen them, and I've seen them twice this year, once against Deer Park, in which Purcell Marion just destroyed them, and then against Moeller, in which Moeller destroyed Purcell Marion, and that surprised me, because Purcell Marion's got dudes. They got guys that can play. They got size. They shoot it. They guard. They've got ability. It's just a really good team.
Yep.
So no surprise to see them. They easily advance out of their sectional tournament, winning the sectional championship game over Blanchester, kind of Moeller-esque, 72-32. They'll take on New Paris National Trail, which upset Middletown Madison 52-38 in a sectional semifinal game. So I would think Purcell Marion in Division 3. I think they're the one that's got a legit chance to win the state championship.
Yeah, I'm like the 100% team to beat.
Yeah, I think they're very, very good. So they will. Oh, that game, by the way, and I just moved out of it. That game will be on Thursday at UD Arena. Oh, wrong one. Excuse me. That'll be on. Let me do this one more time. I had it. I lost it. I'm not going to lie to you. That game will be actually on Sunday night at UD Arena. 7 o'clock is the tip time for that game. All right, also in Division 3, this is Dayton District 1. It'll be the 7-seed Versailles, which won in overtime over the 4-seed Brookville 48-46, taking on Was R-E-A-D-I-N-G? What is that? Is it Reading or Reading? How do you pronounce
it? Whatever you want to pronounce it. Just know that they're still in it.
Taking on the Blue Devils of Reading. This guy's an idiot. Yeah. Taking on the Blue Devils of Reading. Reading, a 66-45 winner over Georgetown, where the great Brian Grant went to high school with Xavier.
That was an interesting game. Reading was down 22-17 at the half of that game.
And then outscored them 49-23 in the
very,
second half.
Very slow-moving first half. I had a good buddy of mine that was actually at the game, and really, he said the Georgetown meltdown came with Reading's pressure on defense. So sitting down, defending, very hard-nosed, gritty team in Reading that is going to try to force you into a lot of turnovers.
Probably the hardest-nosed, grittiest team on the planet, I would think. Next to the Beachwood Tigers.
I think Beachwood Reading would be a fantastic game for about a quarter this year.
Yeah, it would be for about a quarter.
But no, it's hard-nosed. It is getting after it defensively. And you look back, I mean, they played Wyoming well this year in the mm-hmm. league. They beat Deer Park once. Deer Park's still alive, obviously. But this is a team that has been battle-tested. This is a team that's got some good senior leaders that can make a run. The Versailles game isn't my favorite. I just don't like Versailles.
Because they knocked you off your senior year, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's a bad beat for you. Versailles is the 7 seed. So you think with Reading, with what they've done, they were the 3 seed out of their sectional. Yeah. This feels like a decent enough matchup to get Reading to the regional semifinals.
It's a revenge game.
Speaking of Reading, I have a box score here in front of me. It's just handed to me.
Yeah.
From the 2003 Boys Division III Basketball State Final. It says Reading 50, Sugar Creek Gearaway 44. How about that? You now recall that.
Yeah.
Look down here in the box score. 8 minutes.
Yeah.
8 big minutes you played.
Let me tell you why I didn't play a lot of minutes.
Hang on. I'm just going to read your line. Total field goals, 1 of 2.
Yep.
And that was 1 of 2 threes because I guarantee you you're not man enough to get inside the 3-point line. New. No free throws.
No.
Here's the stat that really bothers me a lot, Tony.
I was a shooting guard.
Here's the thing that bothers me a lot. Rebounds total 0 in 8 minutes.
You
played a full quarter basically, and you're a legit 6'6". Yeah, am I right? Hang on, are you a legit 6'6"?
Yes.
Zero in the rebound category?
We had 21 as a team.
Right.
That team didn't miss.
Right.
Okay. They didn't miss.
Yeah, they were 18 of 32 from the field. They did shoot 56%.
Yeah.
But
they didn't miss.
But they did miss enough to where there was 21 rebounds.
Yeah. And
okay, hang on. I see. Let me look. I'm going down the list of rebounds on your team. I got a couple guys got 7.
Yeah.
I do have a guard here who had none. Gordon Hammersmith. Gordon was probably, 5'8"? He wasn't very good.
I was a guard.
Okay, hang on, though. Everybody but you and Gordon. Gordon played 11 minutes. So Gordon was probably a point guard.
Go.
Okay, let's see. We got another guy with 2 rebounds, a rebound, 3 rebounds. I see Tony Pike and Gordon Hammersmith, 0 in the rebound category.
You want to know why I didn't play much this game?
Because you don't rebound the ball,
no.
Pike.
Here's my problem.
Okay.
First of all, Derek Aiden and Eric Clemens. Eric Clemens went on to play at OU. Later got arrested. Spent some time in jail.
Okay. Is he out now?
Yeah.
Is he okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Derek Aiden.
I'm sure he's happy letting that knowledge out there.
Derek Aiden couldn't be stopped.
No, he had 17.
Yeah. So Derek and Eric were big guys.
Yeah, one was listed as a center.
I was about 6'6", 160 at this time. I wasn't going in. I was an outside shooter, so I came down.
Well, I've watched teams shoot on occasion. Now, they were 1 of 8 on threes.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to this. They were 1 of 8 on threes, which means out of their 14 missed shots, 7 were missed threes.
Yeah.
Most three-pointers come kicking far out.
No. Well, I like to leak in transition.
You're telling me no? See, all right, at least I'm getting some truth here. So you were the guy. You were the takeoff guy.
Yeah.
You were the guy trying to steal a chippy. Yet I see no chippies. I see you taking 2 threes and no twos.
My first three I thought was in the center of the basket. It hit the other side of the backboard.
Where are you in this team photo? I'm looking at a team photo. I can't tell even where you are. Oh, now I see you.
Yep.
Now I see you.
I had a little... I had a little bit too much anxiety going into the game. My first shot was a little long. I came back and got beat backdoor on defense, so I knew I was coming out of the game at that point, so I came in and knocked down a 3.
No rebounds.
No.
6'6". No rebounds.
160.
Yeah, the 160 is not, that's not my concern.
Anyway, Versailles.
Yes.
My senior year, we go and play Versailles.
In what level, probably? District or regional?
Elite Eight.
Oh, Elite Eight, okay. So, regional championship.
So we're playing in the Elite Eight regional championship game. This is after knocking off O.J. Mayo and Bill Walker in North College Hill. Went on to beat Ripley.
Emotional win.
Yeah. Well, we went on to beat Ripley after that, so we're back at it. We're playing Versailles, who's 26-0 at this time. We have an 8-point lead. I think we ended up losing 58-50 in that game.
And had an 8-point lead?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait. Yeah, we end up losing 58-50.
It's disappointing.
We shot, and I don't have the box score in front of us. I believe it was Versailles shot 46 free throws, and we shot 12.
Well, were you fouling?
No.
Because you couldn't guard?
No, one of the refs was from Versailles. It was his last game he was doing. It was one of those deals.
Man, you're still harboring.
It was a homer job. So, you know,
That would have been 2004. It's now 2009. 15 years ago, and you're still harboring.
Versailles went on to the state championship that game where they fell short to St. Henry. Who was really good that year as well.
St. Henry's always had good programs.
But we'd have been a back-to-back state champion.
Yeah. If you'd have got, maybe you didn't.
Wish I could pull up that box score.
Yeah, how many rebounds you have in that one?
It was probably like 24-12.
Your ass. That's all I'm going to say. All right, let's move on to, still staying in Division III. This is Dayton District 2. The championship game will be Stiver School for the Arts, which beat Waynesville 63-54 in a sectional title game. And Deer Park still alive. Deer Park was the 4 seed, beat Seven Hills in the sectional title game 59-44. That game will be at 3 o'clock on Sunday at UD Arena. By the way, the Reading game will be at 1 o'clock at UD Arena on Sunday.
My birthday.
Deer Park still alive, and I guess that's the scary part is they're not as talented, obviously, as last year where they were uber-talented. They actually lost a key player during the course of the year to injury.
Right.
Did see them against Purcell Marion. Liked their talent level. Purcell was clearly... what they won by, I think they won by 18 or 20 that day, and I thought they were 18 or 20 points better than Deer Park. But when you're a team like Deer Park, that you've got some guys that have won a state title, you got a coaching staff that's gone through this, the deeper you get into it, the more they start to know, hey, we've done this before. We can still continue to do this. I think they'll be very, very scary out for Stivers, and Stivers is really good.
Well, yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head when you talk about Deer Park's been there before. They made this run last year. This isn't a new thing. Where last year it was Deer Park that everyone talked about. Well, Deer Park's really good, but can they handle the pressure of these moments? Deer Park's really good, but can they get over that hump of, you know, whatever team they're moving on and advancing with? And you even saw that in the state championship game where they struggled for a half of that game before coming back and kind of settling in. You don't have to worry about that now. This team is settled in. They understand how to play, and that's what makes them scary. Anytime that you're a defending state champion and you're still alive.
With a couple of guys that have been through
it. With some guys that can play. I mean, you don't have the weapons that you had last year. But you still have weapons on that team that can play at a high level. I would, you know, and again, it's like we've talked about Mueller. Until you knock off that defending state champion, you have to respect what they're doing.
Exactly. And finally, in Dayton District 3 of Division 3, the Cinderella story of Clark Montessori, which knocked off the number 2 seed CHCA 51-42 in the sectional championship game. They'll play on Sunday at UD Arena, 5 o'clock against Anna, a 1 seed. Anna with an easy romp through its sectional tournament. How about these scores for Anna? And Anna did what did the trek that Mueller decided to do as the 1 seed. They played a first-round game and actually won that pretty handily, 87-54. Then in the semifinals, beat Springfield Northeastern 66-25. Then in the sectional title game, beat Preble Shawnee 75-32. This is a really good Anna team, but I would tell you, I thought CHCA was really good, and for Clark to beat them tells me Clark is at least a formidable opponent.
Right, I agree.
So there you go. That'll be again at 5 o'clock on Sunday. And then quickly, let's head down to Division 4 where we don't have a lot of teams remaining in that. It'll take me 1 second to get there. It'll be in Dayton District 3, New Miami, still alive after beating Gamble Montessori 48-47 to win its sectional title. They'll take on Springfield Catholic Central. That game will be on Friday night at UD Arena. That's a 9:30 tip time there. In Dayton District 1, it'll be Cincinnati Christian, the 1 seed, which went through its thing. They did the same deal. They decided to not take a bye, beat School for Creative and Performing Arts in the first round easily, 79-25, no shock. Then beat Hillcrest easily by 37. But then in the championship game against Miami Valley Christian, won just 55-50, but they advanced to take on Fort Laramie. Fort Laramie winning over Ansonia in a championship game, 33-23. Kind of a typical Reading offensive type of struggle there. And then finally in Dayton 2. No, we're usually an offensive team, although we weren't much in the last two games of the regional tournament. It'll be Franklin Monroe, the 5 seed, taking on Jackson Center. That game will be at 7:30 on Friday night at UD Arena. Monroe, which actually was a 5 seed, was the kind of a beneficiary to some degree. Pleasant Hill Newton was a 10 seed. They knocked off the 1 seed Legacy Christian in a sectional semifinal to advance to the title game against Franklin Monroe, but they ended up winning 58-52. So there you go. That is where things stand in Ohio, and when we next meet a week from now, we will be talking about regional semifinal games in Ohio, the what is amounts to the Sweet 16
Sweet
in each division.
Sweet 16.
Speaking of the Sweet 16, that's where we'll head for Kentucky next. Ooh. And we'll also look at the one team still alive, an upset darling in Indiana as we continue. It's the Boys High School Basketball Postseason Podcast. I'm Richard Skinner. He's Tony Pike from your friends at ESP Media.
Total Wealth Planning can partner, guide, and educate your family holistically on your financial goals and pursuits. Your dreams are better achieved with a trusted fiduciary like Rob Lemons and his team. Contact Rob today at 513-984-6696. That's 513-984-6696 or on the web at twpteam.com. Total Wealth Planning.
Getting answers, finding solutions. Local 12 News investigates.
As soon as we called you, everything happened very quickly.
Not afraid to ask the tough questions. Taking action, getting the truth. Local 12 News investigates.
Welcome back in as we continue our boys basketball postseason high school podcast. I'm Richard Skinner from Local 12, local12.com. He is Tony Pike, who's looking back at his YouTube clips, and the first one he shows me shows a fall away, terrible shot, back of the rim jumper. I mean, barely squared up.
It was kind of dark.
How many of those are on YouTube? I may have to go home this afternoon and just watch a bunch of Tony Pike basketball clips.
I just typed in Reading 2004 basketball because I was trying to get a box score from that Versailles game.
To prove to me that you grabbed a rebound.
Yeah, and then all these videos started showing up.
There you go. All right, three teams from Northern Kentucky advancing, champions of Region 8, Region 9, and Region 10. That's how expansive Northern Kentucky is. In Kentucky, for those that maybe don't know, it is a one-class system. There is no Division 1, Division 2, Division 3, Division 4. It's just one class. And so Walton Verona, which technically in football plays in the second smallest class, they won Region 8. They will kick things off in the Sweet 16 at Rupp Arena on Wednesday at noon, taking on a Knox Central team that's 30-4. A Knox Central team that's only lost three times to Kentucky teams all year. One of those to a team I'm going to talk about in a minute that is still undefeated in John Harden. Walton Verona has Deontay Miles, 6'11 center, who is signed to play at Xavier. Great guards, Grant Grubbs, point guard, got Cameron Party up front. It's a really good team. Even though Knox Central's 30-4, I look for Walton Verona to advance in that game.
It's one of those things, too, where, you know, if you have a 6'11 center going on to play Division I college basketball, maybe you can game plan around that and try to double. But when you have good guard play outside of that, it makes it really tough to double down
and
he's
so
give
good
up a
defensively.
Shot.
I mean, he's such a rim protector. People ask me about, you know, how do you think I don't think he can play right away at Xavier because he doesn't have a polished offensive game.
Yep.
But he is an elite level shot blocker already. And I'm talking about like college level elite. So you can imagine what that's like at the high school level. He's about a step outside the lane on either side if you want to shoot a shot.
Well, I was watching game day this week, Houston going to against UCF.
Right, Taco Fall.
Yeah, I mean, Houston, number 8 team in the country, looked completely out of sorts because of the defense.
You're getting nothing at the rim.
Right, the defense that you can put in. So you take 7'6 at college, take 6'11 at the high school level. That's to say you're not used to playing against guys like that that are that athletic that can get up and make plays. It only takes one or two drives to the hole to start altering your mindset and what you do, and I think that's what's going to make them a really hard out.
The second, actually, also at Rupp Arena on Wednesday, is Wednesday night, but these teams are in the same bracket, the same pod. Campbell County, the winners of Region 10, and it's four times, I think, in the last 6 years for Campbell County to make it to the state tournament. They'll take on an undefeated team in John Harden. John Harden's interesting because on paper, they're probably not as good as last year. They had a kid, Mickey Pearson, who had committed to St. Louis, decided to go the prep school route. He graduated, so you lose a Division I level right. player off of a team that made it to the state tournament. And here they are undefeated right. in the state Sweet 16. I think that's, believe it or not, that's tough because you've had to earn that. You know, some teams are really so, we're going to talk about a Scott County team in a minute, it's so good that you can sometimes just go, all right, they're talented. I think this is a John Harden team that's kind of grinded its way to right. undefeated. And then you get to the state tournament with that, and Campbell County's really good. Reed Jolly, Tanner Lawrence up front, Drew Wilson in the backcourt is a really talented Campbell County team. I think they get the upset, if you will, of John Harden. I'm not sure it would be all that big of an upset, to be frank.
Yeah, and sometimes when you're a team like John Harden and you lose a Division I player like that, it's almost coming back with a chip on your shoulder because no one expects you to do the same thing because you don't have that
Let
one
alone
guy,
go undefeated.
Right, that one guy that's going to carry you. So I think that just develops and you know give credit to the team atmosphere and – and the coaching staff for getting them back to this moment.
No question. They did a great job. We played them. Actually, our Beachwood team played them in the summer at Transy. We actually beat them, but I thought they were really good. I don't know if I thought they were undefeated good, but they were really good. So the winner of Knox Central Walton Verona would play the winner of John Hardin Campbell County. Also in that the upper bracket, Owensboro Ashland Blazer, and then Trinity, which is probably the favorite to come out of that bracket. You probably will see in the semifinals a Trinity, and then I can throw it in a hat between Campbell County and Walton Verona. Hopefully it'll be one of the Northern Kentucky schools. I think one of those two. I think they'll end up matching up actually in the quarterfinal round, so one of those two would get to the semis. Then we get to the lower bracket where this is a blind draw, and it is unfortunate. Region 9 drew Region 11 this year. Region 11 is the Lexington, Georgetown, Richmond region in Kentucky, and they happen to have the number one team in the state in Scott County. Now, Scott County got knocked off in the district final, and you're wondering, wait a minute, they got knocked off in the district final, but yet they're in the state tournament. Well, the district champion and district runner-up both advance. Scott County lost to Henry Clay in the district championship, came back and beat them by 20 in the district final. This is a Scott County team which has only lost three games this year, lost to Henry Clay in that district title game, lost to Dunbar, and lost early in the year to a team from Los Angeles, Westchester, 42-41. It's a team that's battled some injury, but they've got their best player now, Michael Moreno, back. They are probably the favorite to win it, but taking on Covcath, and just like Scott County was a district loser that won a region, Covcath was a district loser to Beachwood, turned back around and beat Beachwood in the regional championship.
I don't understand how that happens.
It just is what it is.
It's tough to beat a team twice.
We had to beat them three times in a short period of time.
And I heard from reports that I heard coming out of all the social media outlets is Beachwood assistant coaching just wasn't.
It wasn't up to snuff. Nope, they had game planned.
Yeah, I mean
us assistants,
players, and head coach.
We're fine.
Everything's normal.
There's no question.
They had told me that, and this is good sources I have.
Yeah,
that Covcath, the assistant coaches for Covcath,
out-assisted the Beachwood assistants.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
It's almost over-coaching.
You know where I coach, right?
Yeah.
Beachwood.
Yeah. Okay. Oh!
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't want to spring that on you just in case.
Oh, no. I was just telling you reports that I had heard coming out of the Beachwood game.
Now, I will say, Covcath did a better job handling the Beachwood pressing in the regional championship game. They'll have to do that against Scott County because that's what Scott County lives off of. Covcath size wise is fine. Nick Thielen, 6'9", went 9 for 9 in the regional title game. Had mostly layups and dunks. They've got big Michael Mayer, who's committed to Notre Dame for football. I think size wise, they actually have a chance to maybe handle Scott County. The question is, can they handle Scott County's press? I think it's a great matchup, an interesting matchup. That'll be a 1:30 tip time on Thursday at Rupp Arena. Also in their side of the bracket, it's Butler and Perry County Central, and then on the bottom side of that lower bracket, Lincoln County, which won Region 12 against Madisonville North Hopkins, and then Warren Central will play Mayfield. Mayfield, actually the winner in the region that has another Xavier commit, Kiki Tandy, his team, University Heights, losing in that regional, so Mayfield advancing onward there. I think, without question, the Scott County Covcath, although Butler will be formidable, the Scott County Covcath winner, to me, advances to the state championship game. Covcath, the defending state champion in Kentucky, actually has won it twice in the last 5 years. It'll be the Scott County game will be very difficult. If they played 7 times, I would give Scott County the advantage to advance in a 7-game series. One game scenario, though, for even though it's a completely new group basically from last year, you start to feel good if you beat Scott County that maybe you're going to win this whole thing again.
So Covcath can lose early but come back and play.
That is correct.
But you guys can't.
We cannot. We lost late. We lost too late in the game. See how that works. Okay. See how that is.
But a good run for Beachwood.
Great run for Beachwood.
Cinderella type run.
Cinderella, but a good. See the thing. Our head coach actually, I thought he said he had a good point. He said, you know, you are Cinderella because this hasn't happened to Beachwood in 50 years and hadn't been to a championship game in 70 years. He said, but you're boss because you just beat Covcath twice. Yeah. You know, you've had a great season. We ended up our season with a 29-6 record, beat Cooper in the semifinals. So pretty good run for
the head
Beachwood.
Coach saying that.
It was head coach saying
that. Well, that's like I said, head coach brought his game.
And then assistant coaches said, oh, don't choke here. See, we say stupid stuff.
But you came on the radio with me Friday right before walkthrough of that game.
Of the Cooper game,
and you mentioned it might be a first team to 50.
And neither one of us got to 50.
And neither one, and through overtime.
Exactly. 47-43 was the final of that game. It was a complete rock fight.
Yeah.
But it was a fun. I will tell you this, and obviously on a team that you want a state championship for, those runs are fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
They really are because The community support was unreal. We had five great seniors, and we've got a group that's coming back. We got a great sophomore, Scotty Drought. He's one of the top sophomores in the state. And looking forward to his next couple of years. Our sophomore class is really good. Our freshman class is pretty good. We've got a nice little pipeline going.
When you mentioned, too, it's one thing, and again, all the credit goes to Coach Kramer Muller, but it's one thing when you're there year in and year out. You know, for like a Beachwood, a historic run, or Reading, it's not year in and year out you're going to the Elite Eight or the Final Four or having a chance to win state. I think that's what makes it more memorable and more special having that opportunity. Because you don't know when that's going to happen again.
You've lost games along your career where it's disappointing just because maybe that wasn't a game you thought you should have lost, whatever. I don't think we thought we should have lost it, but it was hard to be disappointed because you just knew what these guys had done for your program.
Well, and you mentioned, too, I mean, you're now looking at a Cupcake team that should go on and come out now.
Yeah, right. I mean,
in advance. So it's not like you were upset and lost to a team that you shouldn't have lost.
Correct. And lastly, in Indiana, still alive. Speaking of nice stories, Batesville still alive. They'll advance to the regional tournament. They knocked off Greensburg in the sectional championship game, a Greensburg team that was 24-1. They beat them 69-56. So Batesville still alive in Class 3A in Indiana, the only local team that is still left. Tony, any final thoughts other than continuing to look at your highlight reel from 2004? Have you made a shot yet in the highlights?
Numerous.
Have you? Okay.
I'm just going to go through these and maybe just write down my own stats.
Again, from 2003, it staggers me to look at a box score, 8 minutes, and a 6'7 guy doesn't grab a freaking rebound.
Yeah, I could have turned sideways and you couldn't see me in this team picture.
What do you think Coach Benjamin thought of your performance with zero rebounds in 8 minutes? What do you think he said?
I don't think he was unhappy about the no rebounds. He was unhappy I got beat backdoor.
Yeah, okay. Caught ball watching, did you?
That's what you get for wanting me to play aggressive defense.
Playing up the line and overplaying it? Yeah, that's good.
Beautiful
work.
Backdoor cut.
That's good work. The good part is I do have proof you played in a state championship game. Yep. That's very
and
well
one.
Done.
And one.
Stuff. All right, don't forget, we'll have the broadcast of Moeller's game on Saturday in the district tournament against Winton Woods from UD Arena. Airtime will be about 12:50. Tip time will be at 1 o'clock.
Can I give you one more stat?
You can, absolutely.
16,696 people attended that game.
The championship game?
State championship game.
Wow. And they say that means 16,000. How many was it?
16,696.
Saw you not grab any rebounds.
Do you know?
You hang on. I wasn't even in that game. Wait a minute. I wasn't even in that game or at that game.
Yeah.
Or any of those 16,000. You know what we all have in common?
No
rebound. None of us grabbed a rebound either.
Do you know who played after us in that game?
I do not. Oh, LeBron?
Yes.
How about that?
15,000.
Against Roger Bacon?
Yep. More people came to see the Blue Devils that year.
So people left.
Yep. Like, we've seen it all. I just watched a 6'6 kid not get a board. I don't need to see LeBron.
Just watch Beckham Wyrick go out and give LeBron the forearm shiver and said, game on, dude.
Yep.
Yeah, that's arguably the most. So you played before arguably the most famous state championship game in Ohio history.
Yes.
And people left.
Yep. People left.
Dopes.
16,696.
Yep. We all have the same thing in common. In the rebound category for me that day, I don't even know where I was that day, but I know this much. I grabbed as many rebounds as you did, Tony Pike.
It would have been 16,700, but I think four of my family members left when I didn't pull down a rebound.
They're shamed for shame. All right, for Tony Pike, I'm Richard Skinner. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back in another week with some more high school basketball conversation. This has been the postseason high school basketball podcast from ESP Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.